Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tips, brought to you by Helmet Feet Official. Let's go around the horn here and introduce everybody. I'm Carter.
Oh, it's Will.
Will who?
Will Ben.
The one and only.
Carruthers.
Carruthers.
It's Kiefer Rogers.
And Kaysen Spencer.
The crew's here. Where are we, fellas?
We are in Rome, Georgia at Mountain Archery Fest. The second event of the 3D season kicked off here in the southeast. Yeah.
Beautiful.
A very, very, I was surprised driving in the amount of actual elevation. Honestly, I was like, oh, you know, I've done tax. I've done some of the other ones. And, yeah. You know, they're usually on a ski resort. So this was my first Mountain Archery Fest and I was very pleasantly surprised by the venue, honestly.
Yes, this property is gorgeous. I think it's like 1,600 acres, and you're right. There is some deceiving elevation changes going on.
Yeah.
For sure. And you walked the whole damn thing twice. So.
I did walk. Yeah. I walked the world record course, which was pretty cool to see the real-life antlers and everything on the targets. We did that one yesterday, Friday. We had kind of the whole crew out there. Which was fun. Some banter.
Some banter.
Some long shots. What was that furthest one? 150 we were slinging them at?
Shoo.
Too far for me.
Too far?
Yeah, way too far.
Why?
Because I just could not do that. That's my bow's not set up for that. Kiefer, I got to get you to set it up for me, I guess.
Well, I guess we'll get into Tuesday Tips.
Yeah, with it being 3D season, and this is my actually first time participating in a 3D shoot, which is kind of cool. I've been at MAF before, and we were here last year, but I just kind of worked the booth and hung out with folks in camp and didn't go shoot.
Yeah, this was my first 3D kind of event as well, and it was interesting. I didn't get to walk, you know, an entire course, but just Kiefer and I kind of walked the exotics backwards, just kind of running into people and seeing how they're doing. And it was pretty interesting to see. It's anywhere from 100-yard field shots to, you know, you got 35, 40-yard shots.
Through the branches.
Yeah, through the
tight
branches.
Windows.
Limbs, yeah.
Yeah, if you've never shot a 3D course like this, you know, not at your local club or anything, one of these, you know, major events, they're pretty dang fun.
Yeah.
Just the realistic shots you get, you know, you're in the woods, you're walking, you're hiking. A lot of people got packs on, they got water, you know, you see the
Miller lights.
Miller lights. yeah, plenty of those going around. But yeah, it was
super fun, man, and really challenging. And outside of my comfort zone, and always good to do, like, with the boys. Like, that was super fun and really challenging shots that I wouldn't probably go out of my way to set up on my own at my house or in my backyard or something like that, just because of ease or, you know what I mean? Just, like,
it kind of brings out a different mindset, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's easy to sit in the backyard on bag targets, perfect flat ground.
Ripping 20s and 30s. Yeah,
you know, you're just busting them off and you don't even think about it. But the reality is, if you ever do plan to go out west, you know, it's not unrealistic to shoot 50, 60, 70 yards. And if you've never done it before and you get in that situation, chances of you actually hitting that are very slim. Without having done it before, you know, you fall to that level of preparedness, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it helps too with those 3D targets, right? They have the vitals with the 12, 10, 8 ring.
Yeah.
I'm not super experienced in that whole scoring system, but I was just more focused on the vital area. When you're just shooting a bag, it's just like, oh, you're just trying to hit the target.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, coming out of the winter, going into spring where you start getting into the 3D stuff. Even on these 3D targets, majority of them, the scoring rings are actually set a little bit forward on most of these targets, which I have a love-hate with. Early in the season, you know, when we're shooting tournaments and stuff for score, obviously you're shooting for those dots, but me personally, as we start to tail in towards hunting season, I actually try to get out of my head, and Brandon's done a good job with his the competition side of math. He actually has that scoring on the competition course. The rings are slightly different, which actually lean towards more of a hunting situation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing the competition course at each one of these this year.
Like where the vitals actually are.
Yeah.
Anatomically.
Yeah, more anatomically correct. Slightly set back from where the typical scoring rings on these targets when you just buy them. ISO or IBO or ASA scoring. But yeah, again, going towards hunting season, I start to, like Will just said, you know, the vitals are a little bit further back. You are going for double lung shots. You know, you're shooting downhill. You should be, you know, aiming for that exit. So you should be a little bit higher on the target because the exit's going to be lower on the opposite side, stuff like that. That's a big factor that a lot of people miss. And it can get you in trouble shooting 3D all the time, shooting rings, because then you're looking at the target, and then you get in the woods and you see the elk target you've been shooting all summer. Boom, you shoot him right in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... But.
Well, it's kind of like what we went back to. It's when we did our little, you know, quote-unquote lesson, what we talked about was it's all muscle memory. So if you're shooting that same 12 ring every time,
yep,
and then immediately you're not necessarily thinking about it, but subconsciously you're going to that, and it's on the shoulder then.
Yeah, it's like the last one we did, the Tuesday tips with shot process, right? Yeah. It's that subconscious, like you just touched on, you know, exactly. If you're just bang, hitting 12s, if you don't consciously make it an effort to move those back, getting in towards hunting season, it is going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah, but I guess segueing into the actual tips part of the Tuesday tips here, I'll kick it off if no one's opposed.
Please.
Have at it.
Go for it.
So this being my first 3D event, I guess my tip is going to bring bring more arrows than you think.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep. Because, and I think, obviously, Kiefer, you've been shooting much longer than I have, but you probably can attest to the same thing as you're probably going to lose an arrow or two. Doesn't matter if you've been shooting for 10 years or 10 days.
Or four.
Years or days.
Four arrows.
I'm going to go against the grain on that.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. You know, you walk out there knowing you got 30 arrows in your back pocket.
You're going to sling them?
You're just going to sling. You're not going to go through your process. You're going to listen to the people around you bantering, and you're not going to go through your shot process the way you should. And that's it. Are you there? You know, every shot to me should be intentional. You know, we can be talking and I'm going to go dead quiet because I'm going to check out of whatever conversation is. I screwed it up on the novelty shot. On the showdown, it was five shots, five different stances. So we shot one from a seated position, one kneeling, two standing, and the last one was kneeling. I was doing good. Last shot came up. I started listening to the conversation behind me. Forgot to adjust my dial. I skied a freaking arrow 2 feet over the target because I was still set at 66 because I didn't go through my shot process. So I'll go against the grain there. Yes, bring arrows. Leave them at the truck.
But yeah, maybe don't bring all 30 with you.
Don't bring all 30 with you. I mean, I see it on the forums and everything, which, yes, bring arrows. Don't want to buy them. They're usually going to be a little more expensive if someone is selling them. But that just goes back to intention. Yeah, I'm going to go against the grain on that. I see both sides of it, which there's nothing wrong. But I'd say going closer to hunting season, the banter needs to come down because, you know, the reality is you get one shot. You're going to get one arrow, and you want to make that count. Sorry on that one, Will.
I mean, this is also coming from a guy who's been shooting a bow for less than a year and is on his first, you know, 3D trip, like I said. But, maybe I'll amend it and say, Bring more arrows than you think, but maybe don't carry all those arrows.
I like that.
Yeah.
I could see both sides of it because, like, I brought 15 arrows with me, and I knew it was overkill. But at the same time, I didn't want to lose a single arrow. So yeah. I really was committed to, like, making every shot count and at least get foam, you know.
You shot great and yesterday, dude.
I lost one arrow.
You shot great today.
Did
you? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's.
I was trying my best. But
yeah, I shot Perry and Chad today.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah, I think just really, you know, having enough to get it done and not just run out of arrows on the course, you know.
There are long courses, man. I lost two pretty early on in the course yesterday.
Which course were you shooting yesterday?
World record.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I got too conservative, I think, and then I started overthinking things, and then I got sloppy, and then I tightened it back up at the end and brought it home, but like
dialed it.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, having a couple extras in there, not a bad idea.
No.
I also picked a couple bonus arrows up on the courses, which was sweet. And so for those riskier shots, I was slinging other people's arrows because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to sling mine, but like, I'll sling one, you know?
Oh, I have done that before. Yeah.
No, Carter, I think I saw you perform best when you just stepped up there and was like, fuck it.
That's when I got a lot better today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you drilled a couple when you were just like, here we go.
I was like, I'll go first, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. What would you say? What's your like biggest tip for shooting 3D?
Having your setup, I'd say, dialed before you get here.
Yeah.
Because just that, right? We're used, most guys, their backyards, you get 20, maybe 30 yards, and then you come out to an event like this. And I mean, the Exotics course, which we sponsored, first shot was what, 101 right off the bat?
Yeah, 101, 102.
Downhill, you know, the two Rams, like.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was a hell of a shot.
I mean, that's done on purpose, right?
To start off.
It's to get your head.
The pace.
It gets in your head. It kind of shakes your nerves. And
you know there's 17 more of these.
Yeah, there's more to come. But just having your stuff dialed before you get to these events, it's a great place for practice, but shooting. And I don't know, not putting as much pressure. Yeah, everything's intentional, but like Kason just said, like he brought enough arrows, but he was very like conscious of each arrow. So yeah, just that tip of just having it dialed, having your sight tapes. That's a big one. If you don't have a slider, I would highly recommend a slider.
Get one.
For events like this, the reality is if you're, you know, 99% of people are never going to shoot over 60, 70 yards at an animal, unless you're talking like antelope out west or something. You know, your effective range may jump out a little bit. But having those shots that distance, you guys for the whitetail woods and everything, those 20, 30-yard shots now become
obsolete.
Oh, my God. It's,
yeah. My setup was clearly not for this, and I realized that pretty early on, but my fixed pins, it was like,
and like you can get away with it if
there's,
you know,
some guesstimation involved.
Yeah.
But then I was like happy to hit foam, which like isn't the objective. Well, it was for me, but like I'm not 12 ringing anything when I'm like splitting
limb
my 60 pin, my 60 yard pin for a 100 yard zebra, and I'm using my bubble as my next pin. Like, it's just like bananas. Yeah. It's just like not, you know what I mean? It's just like different.
So like that is a small tip on my site. I actually put a black tick mark on my bubble,
mm-hmm.
and I use that as another pin. So I have that left to right. It's just on my bubble.
Yeah.
Because you shoot a single pin, right?
Yeah, I shoot a Spot Hog XL. Fast Eddie XL, it's a double pin stack, and then, you know, I can dial my top pin out to 90, second pin's right at 100, bubbles 110, and then bottom of bubbles 120, bottom of the housing's about 130, but, I mean, there's a little guessing going on there when you get out to those distances, but Yeah, out to 112, 113. Fairly accurate. So,
what would you say, man? Kaysen, you shot phenomenally over the last 2 days.
I think so. Yeah, the first day was hit or miss. Today, I was running on a good amount of sleep, so I was, like, ready to go. But 3 hours of sleep the night before was not good. But, no, I think my tip was would be a twofer. Goes down to having a good set of binos. It was kind of an unspoken thing while we were out there, but, you know, having somebody watching you as you shot, you know, first to see the rings, you know, because when the target's out there at 70, 80, 90 yards, this is my first time shooting 3Ds. I didn't know until a few targets in that, oh, I'm shooting behind the shoulder for where I would shoot an animal to kill it, and I was not even 12-ing in it. A lot of the rings are further up on the shoulder. So glassing that thing before you even take the shot, before you even range it, knowing where the rings are is a big, big plus. And but also having somebody watch you while you shoot to see, you know, when you miss that target, because we had several misses today. If somebody wasn't watching that, that arrow might have never been found. So we had good eyes on it, where it went, high or low, left or right. And we were finding people's arrows from before us that didn't even go look for theirs, probably. So, you know, good set of binos.
That's a good tip. I like that a lot, too, because it's like, oh, you were just low under its chin or whatever.
Right.
And finding an arrow, especially in some of these hay fields or in the woods or whatever, it's like,
yeah, it's grown up.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
And that can at least help you zone in on a particular area.
Well, then, too, that gives you that, like, feedback, right, a lot of times.
Yeah.
You can almost kind of, you know, walk yourself in. And don't be afraid to take another shot. Like, you know, obviously don't back everybody up. But if no one's behind you and you're like, man, that felt good, it broke good. Like, oh, I was 6 inches right. Like, can you identify that in your shot? Like, what happened? Or, you know, then take another one. Okay, same thing. Now, is your sight just slightly off that as you get out to those 100-yard distances, it's maximizing, right? And then it's actually floating, or is the wind pick up, stuff like that. So,
well, that's another thing, too. It's like, as long as you're not holding anybody up, walk in 10 or 20 yards.
That's what I do.
Right?
Yeah. That would be my tip. Shoot your course. So, like, for the 100-yarders, I was like, dude, brother, I got 2 arrows left from yesterday. I want to hold on to them. I'm feeling conservatively minded about what I have left. I'm going to walk in. And everybody's like, yeah, do it. So I'd walk into 60, and then I'd rip it at 60, which is still that's a poke for me, you know? And do it. It's not the competition course. Like,
yep.
Go shoot. And that's still outside my comfort zone, right? So you're still, like, pushing it a little bit, but, like, 100 was just, like, silly for me.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. You know, shoot your own course.
Yeah.
I dig that.
I mean, you're there to have fun at the end of the day, right? So
that is ultimately what this,
Yeah, the only people keeping score were Chad and Perry, so.
They were neck and neck. I swear, like, every other shot, fletching to fletching.
Touching.
They were following each other, yeah.
But that's good, man, and that's a big thing. Shoot with people.
Yeah.
That are going to push you, that are slightly better than you. You know, it's like anything. You surround yourself with, you know, people with a, you know, more education or experience, whatever it is, like,
yeah, like
you'll pick up these tips. You pick up small little things, you know, on the course and ask, hey, watch my shot. What's going on? Like, you know, obviously don't change everything. You know, Carter and I started working on something. I was like, maybe let's not do that.
You were like, yeah, just shoot how you are.
Yeah, you know.
We'll fix it later.
We can work on a couple things. It's kind of the same with Will this morning. It was like, let's work on a few things, but when we start changing anchor points and all that stuff, it starts changing your trajectory, but, you know, where your actual sight's lined up now, your peep and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, I think, like, if you have any bad habits that you bring to the competition, too, I would hesitate to change anything while you're out there. Because, like, with me personally, if I change something, it can all go to shit really fast. Like, you change one little thing, like my grip. Last time I saw you, mm-hmm. Kiefer, we talked about my grip, and I went home afterward, and it was, like, 6 inches difference.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
If something is working, I would say stick with it. If you're in the competition, you know, don't change anything drastic. If it's working, keep it. Then go home and address it.
And that's, you know, it goes back to just coming there dialed, and that dialed, just like Carter said, shooting your own course. If you're hitting good, you know, that's not the time to change everything. No. That's when you're on the practice range.
Perfect. Any last minute things to add there, Kiefer?
About deep diving into a whole bunch of stuff. No, just enjoy it, honestly. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be fun.
It is. Yeah. These events are super fun. They get you out. We couldn't have been blessed with any better weather.
Now that it's pouring rain on the tin roof right now.
Yeah.
And the day's done. Thank goodness.
We made it through.
I would suggest bringing a rain jacket. It can change always. At all times, especially the western shoots. We got the other crew in Fort Collins, Colorado at the Arctic shoot today. And
it's snowing.
It is absurd. It is the Arctic shoot. So, yeah, you just never know what's going to happen. So,
hell yeah.
Come prepared.
Well, it's been fun, boys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Listeners, appreciate the hell out of you guys. We'll talk to you next week.